Welcome to Bush and Banter, hosted by me, Diana Carmella, and Jennifer Mavis. Insert applause.
Yeah, please insert some really intense clapping.
Just one person clapping.
Yeah, like a golf clap. That's all we get.
Jen just gets one little golf clap. Jen, all right, let's get into this. This is a great one. This I say this about everybody, but this actually is a really interesting conversation. But before we get into it, I want to ask you, because I always love to ask you questions. Is there an activity, a sport, an adventure, something that you are absolutely, positively terrified of? Like you think to yourself, I don't think I could ever do that. Even if I wanted to try, I don't think I could.
So two things come to mind.
That was a really quick thought.
Process. I know. Right. Well, I'm very intelligent. I'm like, 1% intelligence of the species. Did you not know that? What does that even mean? I don't even know.
What is it?
Okay. Well, first, before we get like really into it, I don't know why this just popped into my brain. Did you ever watch Fear Factor?
I did. I've seen like a couple episodes.
Okay. Well, my family and I used to watch. It was like on every Monday night. This isn't really like an activity, but I couldn't do anything with like worms, like laying in a coffin full of like crawly bugs or worms.
Yeah.
That is literally not happening. I don't care if you're like, I'll give you $700 million. Like that's not happening.
Yeah. Wait, Fear Factor. Didn't they put their head in a hole and they put goggles on them and then they dumped a bunch of insects and reptiles and all that?
That was one thing that they would do. It would be different every time. So they would do something, athletic or, scary in one physical sense. And then usually one of it was like, you need to eat these like bull testicles,
yes.
Which I could do that. I think I've done that. I've already eaten bull testicles. Right.
Yeah.
But it's like the bugs and the whatever. I don't know why Fear Factor just like came into my brain.
Okay.
Because I don't know, maybe a TV show, because our guest has its own TV show, but that's one thing that I'm not down for. But the next thing would be traveling to space.
Traveling to space. Why?
Well, it's no mystery that I don't like to fly. However, I feel like there could be a certain point in my life and it could, if there was a certain meaning to me needing to go to space, I would do it, but it would be very specific circumstances. But I don't know if my heart would survive if I even did it.
I need to remind people, because I know we've talked about this on the podcast, Jen is so afraid to fly. When she gets to the airport, she will rent a car. She will just say, she will forget about it and rent a car and then drive across the country.
Yes. There's been times when I'm like, I'm not doing this. And, Diana shares the same fear.
Yes, but I would go to space. But I think it would be the worst part would be, and I think we would agree on this, is getting bolted in. And it would be that I feel like 10 seconds before takeoff, I think I would want to die.
Wait, right. And I actually might die. So that actually is a possibility. I think for me, those kinds of circumstances, just similar with flying, is I'm just waiting for something really bad to happen.
Yeah.
Where you're on a roller coaster, it's, I like roller coasters. You're moving really fast. You don't really have time to think.
Have you seen the people on the roller coasters that pass out like midway through and their body is just like that would be you in a spaceship.
Yeah, probably. And I'd actually be very thankful for that. Yeah. Can you – I'm still trying to wonder why I can't be given horse tranquilizer before I fly. If you could just give that to me, I will get in the spaceship.
Yeah, like them like put it on a little like one of those things that they roll up and down the aisle and then just like inject you. Injection.
Yeah, give me my own, stash and I'll just administer it how I feel is necessary. What about you? What is something you're so terrified to do that you probably won't ever do?
It's two very specific things that I think that I don't think I could ever possibly do it. Cave diving and really narrow caves under the water, going through those. I think I can go underwater with a tank and be somewhat okay. But those caves, those super narrow, were only like you can barely fit your body through. I would immediately die. And the other thing is, and this is not an adventure, but this is something that I don't think I could ever do, is I'm terrified of snakes, like reptiles and snakes and stuff, like a reptile transport. like being in like a truck full of serpents, and having to like move them to different places. Like, no, I've never done that.
So both of ours were like worms and creepy crawlies and snakes, and one was like adventurous. We are on the same level. I know you also don't like sloths, so.
Oh, with sloths.
Could you be in like a delivery truck full of sloths?
No.
Which one's worse? You have to choose one. Who are you riding with?
Snakes or sloths?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Like if somebody wrapped a snake around me and I had to hold a sloth, I think I would immediately die and then get pushed back into my new life. Like I don't even think, I think my existence would just crumble. Cease to exist. Yeah. oh my gosh.
A sloth. They're slow to move.
I think I could pet with one finger a sloth, whereas a snake, I can't even be in the same room as a snake. Mm. So that's your answer. All right. That's a great segue for our guest today, who is who is doing incredible things and really pushing himself.
Before we get into this episode, I want to give a huge thank you to our sponsors, Sawyer Products and Eno. For more Bush and Banner content, go ahead and check us out on Patreon at Bush and Banner. There are monthly product giveaways, behind-the-scenes content, and just some more fun.
On the program today, we have the creator of Chubby Diaries. He's an award-winning content creator and speaker. He has a new adventure travel show called Never Say Never, and you can stream it on Nat Geo TV, Disney Plus, and Hulu. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to the program Jeff Jenkins.
Welcome to Bush and Banner. We're going to get into your new show, Never Say Never, and we're going to hear all about your travels, and I bet you have some wild stories. But first, we love to ask guests, where are you broadcasting from?
Well, you know what? It is exciting. I am at home in Austin, Texas right now. It's exciting because I'm never home. So to be home, people ask me now, like, what is vacation for you? And I'm like, being home. Home is where the heart is, so I'm happy to be here.
Were you born in Austin? Is that where you grew up?
I'm from Orlando. I was actually in Orlando last week, and I got to be home. I got to be home there for like 4 days while the show actually premiered. So I got to watch it with my family, and we had a premiere party there. So it was like one of the best places I could have watched the show.
Aww. But home base now is Austin.
Austin, yes. I've been here now 11 years.
I still haven't been there, but it's on a top priority list to get there.
Oh, yeah. You got to come. You got to come. It's beautiful here.
The food and the music and the people. Yeah, I've got to get there one day. That's on my travel city lists.
I love that.
So you today are a travel journalist, but mm-hmm. I'm curious, what did you want to be when you grew up? When you were young and thinking about your profession?
Yeah, like early Jeff, what were his dreams and aspirations?
Well, I didn't think about those. I forgot all about them for a while. But I wanted to be an astronaut.
Wow.
And I wanted to also be a neurosurgeon.
Oh.
That is incredible. I'm laughing because I wanted to be the garbage man because I don't know. It just looked like so fun. And when you're 5 years old and you see this big truck every day, it's like, I want that.
I wanted to be a school bus driver and a face painter.
Oh, wow. See, we'll go with the astronaut.
Our aspirations are just so low.
Yes.
I'm a journalist as well. And I was wildly inspired by Anthony Bourdain. For years and years and years, I think he kind of revolutionized journalism and adventure and going into the world and really, embracing other cultures. So, when you kind of started recording for YouTube and your social media, who really inspired you? Who did you look up to for journalism and, travel?
Well, yeah, I definitely, I didn't start off as a traditional journalist at all. I was definitely more on the content creation side. So talking about doing like being an influencer or a blogger, it was bloggers who actually got me going first. And that's the non-traditional, unorthodox journalist.
Yeah.
But like Nomadic Mad and Brian Kelly from The Points Guy, But yeah, Steve Irwin. Steve Irwin was
the original.
Was definitely my guy. Yeah, and Anthony Bourdain, just in love and enamored by them. There's a woman named Onika Raymond. I gleaned so much from her, and I got a lot of life lessons from her in the sense of how to be out in the world and create beautiful content and awesome content, and how to promote myself in a way that people can celebrate the different things that I do. And so those are some of the people. But there's tons more, like David Attenborough and all of these guys that were on TV before, Samantha Brown.
Yeah.
I love them all.
Yeah. Yeah. I actually ran into Samantha Brown at a restaurant one time in Park City, Utah. And I was a big fan of hers. And I was sitting down, I saw her and I was like, oh, I got to say something. And I was so nervous. And I walked up and I just introduced myself and she had me sit down and we had like a 20-minute little conversation, and I never forgot how sweet she was.
That's my buddy, man. I love her to death. And yeah, she is just that sweet.
Yeah.
Your new travel show, mm-hmm. Never Say Never, just from watching it, it just feels like it's a show that like deeply values human connection. It's not just about, you know, adventure and travel and doing really cool things. The connection from the individuals encountered to the profound bonds formed with even the audience, like myself watching. I mean, it's hard not to watch every episode and be moved by your openness and watching you overcome these challenges. So when you reflect back, not talking about specifically travel journalists, but is there someone in your life who's had such a huge impact on you that has helped you get to this point?
I would say my wife more than anybody, because I would say that she's the one who's helped me articulate, helped me form some of the connections and the stuff that me being able to express myself in a way that people could understand and appreciate. I think that she helped me out with that a lot because I feel like I had it in me. It was always in me, but it needed to be groomed. It needed to be like defined. And I think she really, truly helped me out with that. But I feel like most of my mentors are all people I've seen online. I haven't actually met them in person, like Steve Harvey, although I was on his show today. but like Kevin Hart and it's the Rock, Oprah, like Tyler Perry. It's all of those people that like when I was in this journey of becoming who I am now, like I consider myself more of an entrepreneur who has done like journalism and who has done content creation, but my business is in travel. Like I'm a travel content creator at the end of the day. Mm-hmm. And so it was like, I've learned from these people how to continue to grow and build my brand and be able to tell a story and be able to connect with people. Cause at the end of the day, I want people to get to their highest, truest self. And I want to come along that journey. I don't want to tell you how to do it, but I would like to walk along beside you.
What about in this first season? I mean, you go to Mexico, Vietnam, New York, New Mexico. I just said that. Patagonia, Iceland, the Amazon, Japan. You go to all these places. Is there a particular person you remember that really stands out in your mind as really kind of inspiring you?
Okay, it's two people. Yeah, it's tough. So I'm just going to go off of my contributors.
Okay.
So with my contributors, Jameis, from New Zealand, he just stood out. He just, his energy, the way that he had just this passion and love. I love Polynesian and like Māori people, like that group of the Pacific Islanders. Oh man, like
yeah.
It's something, man. They got something now that just, it just, they bring out this endearment and they just, it's like, I yes. see you. Yes, yes.
They're like helping you with your pepe ha.
Yeah.
And they just, yeah.
Yeah, it gives you that like, that big hug, like when they talk to you. And so I think Jameis and just being around him, I got to meet his whole family and that was beautiful as well. So he stuck out to me. But Adada from Brazil, although we didn't get to see her a lot, and that episode actually got cut in half. We actually filmed a whole episode, but it didn't work out the way that it was supposed to. And I got to be on with Adada, but Adada is such a beautiful person inside and out. Like the way that she advocates and goes out for the just talking about the rainforest and making sure that Brazil is in a better place. Like it's beautiful. Just her heart as well, which is it was very impactful and it made me want to get my life together and make sure that I'm doing the right conservation as well.
Yeah. Oh, I loved that episode, the Amazon episode. Wait, Patagonia. Yes. And then Iceland. It was
Iceland and Brazil together.
That was gorgeous. That was so gorgeous. And I know you're a really hard worker, but your drone operator, he's outstanding. I mean, it just phenomenal.
Well, we had multiple drone operators.
Oh, okay.
Like every episode, it could be one to two people that came out and did it. It was never the same person.
Oh, it's beautiful.
They got some really good shots. Yeah.
It was same, like, even, you know, multiple times throughout the show, you're like, you talk to like your camera crew, and I can only imagine how heavy holding that camera is, but you're like rock climbing and you're like doing all these things and there's someone there with a camera on their shoulder. And I'm the whole time, I'm like, how is somebody?
When I tell you, I have no idea. So one guy was like real burly. So he had it. I think he did.
Yeah. Yeah.
But Liz, who was our camera woman, our DP, for three of the episodes, she just this petite, tiny woman. And you're just like, how are you doing this? I'm struggling to just get up this thing, but you're doing it with the camera on your shoulder. The way that they were moving so easily and like just flowing.
Yeah. I mean, I think like with any kind of production, especially something like your show, there's so many people involved and, you know, you're the face, you know, you're the one bringing it to life and bringing the energy and everything. But there's so many people behind the scenes that are making this also happen. And I love that you often pointed out to, you know, we would see the cameraman or camera woman. And Diane is a huge drone fan. I've never flown a drone myself, but she has a drone. She does all that stuff. And
It's tricky.
I would think it would be easier, but I keep hearing people talk about how hard it is to fly a drone really well.
Yeah. DJI makes it easier.
Absolutely.
Yeah, they make it easier. But it's just like photography or any like art. Like you have to have that eye. You got to see what like is and isn't. But no, I give all credit for like the crew. Like they're the ones that are making me look good, you know? And it's surprising even how like the production works, because you're like, man, y'all are just as talented in a lot of ways. But I got to realize like what teamwork looks like.
Yeah.
And this is what it looks like. Somebody might get more shine, but that's why I try to make sure that people know that I consistently value my crew. And I tell people this all the time. Like, I wanted us to be known for our kindness and our hard work. And we delivered on that consistently in every destination that we went to. And it was just a beautiful, beautiful time with them. We felt like family.
Yeah, you really capture these locations so poetically. And yet here you are like having fun and jumping off boats and river rafting and stuff. But it's so gorgeous, and the music and everything. I just wanted to ask, you know, you're on social media. You kind of filmed your own adventures through the Chubby Diaries. And suddenly now you have a Nat Geo show. And the production value just like skyrocketed. I mean, you were good, but like the production just the value and everything. So when you first watched an episode, what were your thoughts about it when you actually saw it? Because when you're filming, you probably are not thinking too much about, because it's all taken care of with the camera crew. But when you first watched an episode, what was going on in your mind?
Well, I was there. And so seeing some of that stuff, I was like, this place is beautiful. Yeah. Like, oh.
Yeah.
But. I was trying to sneak in shots.
Yeah.
What y'all did over there? Let me see.
Oh yeah, yeah.
I wanted to see on the screen what y'all looking at, and I was like, wow. Well, I don't know why some cameras make real life look crappy compared to the camera. The camera, you'd be like, oh, it looks so beautiful on here. But yeah, I was in awe. Like, once it was like all put together, and I was like, man, that's how y'all did that. Or like, man, I see how y'all edited that, and it just flows so well. Like,
yeah, so well.
And you're getting those like quick bits and stuff like that. Like, I am honored and grateful. Like, I would say it's not deserving, but it is in a way. But that's more of a self-deprecation kind of thing.
Yeah.
But I'm like, whoa, y'all really made a show that's like this amazing about me. Like that to me, I think is just like out of this world, because yeah. I'm telling you, this is Nat Geo. Like, so, yeah. I mean, I feel like they're the gold standard when it comes down to nature. And
this is big time. Yeah.
Yeah. And so, but to even see that quality and the way that we presented it, I think it's even different compared to other travel shows I've seen. And we made sure that we hit nature and people all at the same time and culture. So I was very happy about that.
Yeah, that was one thing I really liked about your show, was it wasn't just about doing really fun, adventurous, scary, you know, excursions. You're eating the local food. You're talking about family values. You're talking about culture and visiting a lot of places that aren't touristy. And I think like Diane and I, like, I think we really enjoyed your show because we are like that ourselves. Like, we don't want to just go to the best Instagram spot. You know, you want to get in there and actually get a real experience. And you've been traveling way before the show started, obviously, like as we talked about. So, I mean, traveling has really impacted me individually. Same with Diana. And I think a lot of people who haven't traveled don't maybe understand why it can be so impactful. So I want to ask you, with all of your travels, not just on your show, what has been the most powerful and memorable lesson you have learned from traveling all over the world?
I mean, powerful consistently, because I mean, it's awkward when you think of it, but it's true that, man, people are the same. Like, at the end of the day, we might have different cultures and traditions, but at the end of the day, like, we all still have the same problems. We still love the same. We bleed the same blood. And so it's very interesting. There's this thing to where it's like, oh, no, we're different. We really aren't. We really aren't. We're different places. Like, and I think knowing that, that's what makes it easy for me to go talk to people. That's what makes it easy to be able to communicate with people, even if I don't understand the language. Yeah. But yeah, I think that to me, and I don't think, and what I'm not trying to say is, because the one thing I've learned to do is not, I'm not diminishing or minimizing anybody's culture or race or anything like that. I actually celebrate all of that. Like, I'm a person who loves to celebrate diversity. And so, but at the core, that's what makes it more impactful. Like, I can go talk to somebody I've never talked to and talk to them like a family member or a friend, because they feel like a family member or a friend. And that to me has been impactful. And that's what has made my travel even greater, in a sense.
Yeah.
Yeah. I would 100% agree with that, because obviously in third world countries or, you know, other places, people are really struggling and their lives are so much more difficult than mine. And then there's a lot of people living way better off than me. You know, we have this huge spectrum across the whole entire world. But regardless, at the end of the day, everybody wakes up trying to do their best. Maybe there's a very small percentage of the population that's not, but most of us every day are trying to provide for our families or wake up and just make it through the day. And once you realize that we all are just human and we can connect and we can sit around a table and eat the same food, and even if you don't know the same language, just be able to enjoy each other's company, I think it helps soften your heart and understand that, yeah, there's so much going on out there, and it helps me become more compassionate and caring for other people.
No, I love that. And the one thing I did want to say is, and the part that I left out, is that, like, the biggest lesson out of all of that, because it's the same thing with that, is people just want to be seen. Everybody wants to be seen in some kind of way. Some kind of fashion. It might not be as much as other people, but everybody wants to be seen. They want to feel valued. And that, to me, is what I've learned across the board from every place I've ever been.
If you follow us on Instagram, listen up, because your name might be called. Our first sponsor for this episode is Eno. Eno is the leader in responsibly made hammocks and hammock accessories to help you explore, connect, and relax from backyard to backcountry and everywhere in between. Their best-selling and award-winning two-person double-nest hammock and patented no-knots-needed Atlas hammock straps are a long-standing go-to for outdoor adventurers. For more information, visit enonation.com. Jen, don't you have one of these hammocks? You've had one for a while.
Yeah, I do. It was actually one of my first gifts that I gave my now husband when we were dating. As people know who listen, my husband's in the military, and he actually used his hammock more flying in military planes. He was deploying a lot when we first met, and he would hang it up in these planes because, you know, they're not taking, you know, normal, you know, civilian aircraft, and hang it up on these long flights. So he'd be sleeping in a hammock in those, like, big, I don't know what they're called, but, you know, those planes.
The C-17s, the cargo planes.
Yeah, I mean, and so he would hang it up and sleep in a hammock on his way to, like, his new deployment location. So that's, like, what he used it for.
That is awesome. Right now, somebody's going to go home with an Eno hammock. If you follow us on social media, listen up because we might call your name. Oh, wait, yeah. We actually have a new system this season. How are we picking the names?
We're doing it's a randomized Instagram follower picker.
That's a great way of saying it. All right.
So we have all of our followers, and this like wheel is just going to generate and land on a person's name. Here we go. The winner of our first giveaway for season 4 is Zach Long. Instagram handle is @ZachL928. So congratulations, Zach. You just won yourself an amazing Eno hammock.
Congratulations, Zach. You have 7 days to claim your prize. So message us directly on Instagram.
We all know Sawyer Products as one of the outdoor market's leading compact water filtration systems. The exact same Sawyer filters folks use backpacking are being used in over 80 developing countries around the world and impacting over 27 million people. We go backpacking or we thru hike because we think it's fun. It's a fun activity. It's not like our life depends on it. But these people in these other countries who don't have clean water, their life actually depends on these Sawyer filters in order to stay alive. It's an amazing organization and brand to check out and purchase from. Follow Sawyer on social media at Sawyer Products and learn more at Sawyer.com.
All right, here we go. Somebody right now is about to get sent some Sawyer products.
All right, our winner for some Sawyer products is Deborah Langford. Her Instagram handle is Deborah on the go. You just won some Sawyer products.
Congratulations, Deborah. Message us on Instagram to claim your prize. If you want to be entered into next week's giveaway, just make sure you're following us on Instagram. And I think when traveling too, I think Jen, you could, chime in on this. Like a lot of it is, you know, I'm so impacted by people, but we very rarely understand the impact we have on others. And as thru hikers, you know, we're in a town or we meet somebody and then we say goodbye. We'll never see them again. We'll never communicate with them. It was we spent an hour with these people and, you know, we were really inspiring because we're just walking in the woods, you know, for months and months and months. And I really didn't process that until after my thru hike, the people that were inspired by me. And so I think you're such a shining example of that. Like what you're doing, people are really looking at you like, I could do this too, more so than we have seen in the past, I think. And so, there are so many people though that are struggling to travel, to take that first step. They are, it's a mind. It's all starts in the mind. But what are some words to people who want to do these adventures, but they are absolutely just scared shitless to do it, to take that first step? Any words to those people listening?
I'll start by saying I see you. I've been there. And it's tough. It's tough. Like, you know how to do it. For the most part, it's easy. Like, you just do it and go. One step, go. Yeah. I'm telling you, getting out there is hard. And so what I say is that, like, just commit. Think about whatever that destination, that place, that activity that you want to do. Think about it. Dream about it. Put yourself in that position and then just commit and give yourself like a timeline in some kind of ways of just like going for it. And if it doesn't happen, then make another timeline. But the main thing is, especially when it comes down to traveling, just buy the plane ticket. Like that's one of the easiest. Yeah. Don't think, just buy the plane ticket. You'll figure everything else out after.
Mm-hmm. Don't think.
Like, for some reason, when you buy that plane ticket, that's when things change. Or people have never been internationally and they don't even have their passport yet. Reason they don't travel or even think about traveling internationally because they don't have their passport. The moment I got my passport, I felt like a whole nother person. I was like, I have my passport. This is great. I can go anywhere now. Like, know that you're not the only one that feels the way that you feel. And know that, like, that should bring you some, like, security or make you feel comfort, I meant to say, knowing that you're just being, you're a normal person.
Yeah, so, you know, your big saying, and you say this all the time on the show, is, you know, life begins where my comfort zone ends. And that's going to look differently to everybody. But for you specifically, what does that mean? Like, where does your comfort zone end?
A hot air balloon.
The show has pushed or made my box so big now or so little. I'm like, dude, I'm always just out of it now. But yeah, I don't know. Like, I don't know some of these things. And I do tell people this, like, being on this show, I don't know if it's humanly, like, it's natural or healthy for people to have this many back-to-back, like experiences that can, like, that you have to mentally get yourself through.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Like, because even if it was a consistent one, like, it was the same thing over and over again, mm-hmm. I'm fine. Like, I can do that. Like,
yeah.
Through travel. Like, if we got, hey, we got to get from Canada down to Mexico. Like we're one journey, one thing.
Right.
But you talk about, like, oh, you're bringing up a new fear. Like, this hot air balloon is a whole nother, like, level of just, of angst and stuff like that. And so, it going through those, like, you start building this, like, backbone or something. You build something. Something's happening. And I'm just hoping that, like, even in season two, I'm excited.
Right.
I'm excited to see what season two looks like because
yeah.
Right now, I watched some of these episodes and I was like, ooh, I don't want to do that ever again. At least I tried it once. I don't want to do it again.
Yeah. We did the rappelling. Let's tell him about the rappelling. Yeah. Jen and I were in Zion.
The Via Ferrata.
And yeah, I'm looking down. It was the first time I ever did that. And I don't know what happened, but I was losing feeling in my hands and I was losing feeling in my legs. And I was so terrified that my body was starting to break down and I couldn't control it. So when I was watching your show, and you do this quite a few times, it was starting to bring back and my palms were getting sweaty. And I'm like, I know exactly what that's like. And that is tough. If you've never done it before, it's freaking tough. I mean, Jen, it was
tough. About doing another activity that same day.
Oh,
or
no.
The next day. Just equally or worse than what you just did.
Oh, man. And you're, I think it was Patagonia, and you're just kind of hanging off the side of this cliff. And I'm like,
yeah,
oh.
I fell. Oh. I fell.
Yeah.
I fell with that bad boy.
Oh, my yeah. God. It was just so scary. But yeah, but you got up and you kind of, then you go to the next activity. I don't understand how you do this.
That was my honeymoon. It was 3 weeks in New Zealand, every day of being terrified. I'm like, this isn't enjoyable or romantic. I was just doing every adventurous thing possible. And I'm like, it was exhausting, like emotionally exhausting. But I know where my comfort zone ends. It's anything to do with heights, like extreme heights. Like I went skydiving and I did the world's largest swing in New Zealand and then whitewater rafting on the same day. Like I was doing that. We were just trying to get in as many activities as possible. And I was having panic attacks all day, but I'm a sicko and I'm like, I got to keep doing them. I'm just like, why am I doing this to myself? Mm-hmm. But it's you facing all those fears. It gets exhausting. It can be draining a bit, you know, and You are in these beautiful places and experiencing a lot of beautiful things on the show, but it is exhausting to constantly have to like override your mind because we have fears for a reason. A lot of time fear is good because it's telling us like, I want to live.
It's not safe. Yes.
Please don't do this. But then we also, as of today, mm-hmm. we're curious, adventurous people. And we often tend to override those fears. And sometimes it's for a really good cause, but it is exhausting. And yeah, every episode you are facing some sort of like wall.
Yeah. And you don't hide it either. I mean, you are very honest that you are terrified. I mean, you're scared, but you still do it. You know, it's really amazing. There were some episodes where I was like, I don't think he's going to be able to do this. I think it was the hot air balloon. He ain't going up in that. He is not going up in that. And then, yeah, you did it.
Yeah. It's interesting. I always tell people it's not about me. I wouldn't do half of this stuff if it was on me. Like if it was for me to just do it, just kicks and giggles. Yeah. I'm not doing it. But when I think about others and who's going to help, and knowing that there's millions of people in the world that actually do look like me, that are plus size, that have never seen anybody else do this. So guess what? I'm going to go do it. Once again, I'm still shocked on the rock climbing one, because I know not one heavy set person that has rock climbed. I've been around a lot of rock climbers. I've never seen one.
I was amazed, because rock climbing is something that really, I've done it a bit, but it freaks me out. I have never seen someone your size rock climb ever. I'm being serious. And I was so moved by this, because I'm thinking, how many people are going to see that and feel the confidence to go try it? And what if that unlocks a new passion for somebody? And I think that's what's important about, like, visibility for all people, is getting people to, it can look like anything, but giving people the confidence that they can do something that can change their life for the better forever. And you getting to the top of Notch Mountain, and then your brother, I was like, cause he's like a tall, big guy too.
Yeah. He's a big guy too. Yeah.
And I'm just like, that was such a powerful message. It wasn't just a simple, like, 75 foot climb. And yeah, I thought that was really amazing. To kind of piggyback off of that, in your Japan episode, at the time that you shot it, you said you were in Japan actually 16 years earlier, and that you were at once or often associated with sumo wrestlers when you went over to Japan. And you made a comment how you were at the time, you know, a little bit offended by that. But then you went back in your Never Say Never episode, and you actually was in a professional sumo wrestling match, which is crazy.
That guy was terrifying that you fought.
He smiled after, but he was great.
I'd probably start laughing because I'd be so nervous.
Goodbye.
But after that experience, you actually became to appreciate the sumo wrestling culture you talked about, because of how Japan perceives those sumo heroes. And I think that's just interesting how your perspective has changed once you became a little bit more educated about, you know, those associations. And I just found all of that really fascinating, that, you know, here 16 years ago, you said, you know, you were a little bit offended, but then you seemed very proud to be able to get in the ring and do this sumo wrestling match. Do you have any thoughts on that?
Well, yeah, I mean, it was when I was in Japan that it just as quickly as I got offended, as quickly as I found out how, like, these sumo guy people are treated like gods. These men are like, it's very interesting.
Yes.
Yeah. But yeah, to be able to go back, it was more so just embracing my body. I think that was the most body positivity like episode I did, in the sense of just like me wrestling with stuff that I've been dealing with since I was a kid, you know, taking my shirt off. You think to yourself, like, which one was the challenge? Was it the taking off the shirt or the actual sumo match, you know? I was very real on not taking my shirt off. I remember they told me that when we were in Mexico, we were shooting in Mexico like months before, and I was like, nah, I don't think I'm gonna do that, y'all. I literally remember when they said it, and I was like, I don't think I'm doing that, like taking my clothes off. I mean, it was game time decision, literally months. They were over there nervous, like, is he going to do it? I don't know. So it's really cool to be able to get some redemption in that. But then also, you know, the one thing I learned about, like, Japanese culture. So they're very reserved until they have to get into an onsen, or a hot tub, springs. They, for some reason, They get naked, and it's just whatever. And they're so used to it.
Let's just let it hang out.
Yeah, but you know, the one thing I would say is that they also have seen fat bodies. Like, they've seen big bodies their whole lives. Like, and he was like, oh. Like, in our world, although we do see it, we hide it a little bit, we don't have any kind of culture that shows off a fat male's body. Like, you just don't see that in America. And so to be in Japan, right, it was like, Jeff, you know, we've seen this our whole lives. And I was like, wow, never thought of that. So it blew my mind to think that there was other places where larger bodies were being seen to the public consistently.
Right. And celebrate it. And because they say sumo hero. Yeah, you taking your shirt off for that was, we could all see how challenging that was. It doesn't have to be skydiving or hot air ballooning or any crazy adventure to hit your wall. It could be something like that. And but I did laugh when you were like, yeah, I'm not taking my shorts off.
Yeah, you can get this. You can get this. That's it.
Come on.
And maybe season two, we go back. We need a rematch. Like the whole rematch. And this time I might take off the shorts. But yeah.
Jeff, for this show, how involved are you with picking these locations? Do you, what's that creative process like?
Yes. So what happened was they took, I mean, presence of mind, I sent over 109 things I wanted to do before I die. Okay. And so it had destinations on there and all. And then like we started talking. So they were able to come up with some stuff, but I feel like it was my showrunner, me and Nat Geo that came up with the destinations in a sense. Okay. Like my showrunner could give, I remember the day we like sat down at the table, literally after we got the green light, like a week or so later, my executive producer from the production studio and my showrunner who like runs the show, like the filming of the show,
yeah,
like they came to Austin and had like sat down with me. It was, I was bringing back memories, but it was cool because he was like, hey man, so this is what I'm thinking. I saw your list. All right. So here, we're going to go to New Zealand. And I said, what? We're going to start at New Zealand. What?
Oh my God, it's a great place.
This kind of travel show? Like, yeah. I didn't even think it could have been domestic. You never know.
Right.
So I was like, oh wait, we're going around the world? Like, okay, I'm here now. Yeah, he was like, and I heard you wanted to go to Vietnam. Yeah. So guess what? Vietnam it is. I was like, yeah! Let's go! So I was in awe just as much. So they really did try to, because that's the thing. Like, you want to be able to make a connection. You want to be able to tell a story. You want to be able to sell something in a way that's convincing. And so, yeah, these are places I wanted to visit. And and even when I think about the show, as we do have our producers and they help curate stuff, these are still, like, my thoughts, my process, my questions and stuff like that as well. Mm-hmm. And so almost every question that was asked on the show were all curated by me.
You're a great host. Like you are, you kind of ask the questions that I want to know, you know, like you're very in tune with the audience and what the audience wants. And so you're a great, like gatekeeper from the audience to the adventure. So yeah, I love your hosting style. It's very real and raw. And
I feel it's a blend of YouTube-y like content creation. And just like the traditional like media, like as well. And people keep saying that. They was like, I feel like you were just like talking to me or or you literally was thinking what I was thinking. Like even in like you were saying earlier, like even in my flaws or the stuff that I'm thinking of as failures or like challenges, y'all like people have the same thoughts. And it was like, oh yeah, you were, yes, that's exactly what I was saying, Jeff.
Yeah.
Or like the lady jumped on the net. I remember my whole family like yelled at her. And I was like, I knew I couldn't yell like while I was on the show, but I literally wanted to be like, hey, what are you doing? Stop.
I wouldn't have liked that either. Because that net, you stepping on that net is like, was a huge mind block for you. And then she starts jumping. I'm like, what are you?
It was.
That's like people. That's like when I get into an elevator because you know I'm a little scared the elevators are just going to drop, and then there's people jumping in the elevator, and I'm like, "You stop that right now!"
Hey, I was just in an elevator in New Orleans, and that bad boy went down, up, down, up, and it did a nice droppy down. I said, "Oh, get me off of this!"
A droppy down.
I thought I was gone. I thought it was over, guys. I really did. I was like, "This is it." Tower of Terror is one of my favorite rides, and this is the way I'm going out. Yes. My worst nightmare happening.
Yeah. All right, I'll make sure to tell National Geographic next season to put you in an elevator. That'll be one of your activities.
Okay, I got a question for y'all. Okay, I'm just throwing this out here again. Okay, hopefully somebody reads it. Yeah. But how crazy would it be if we did an episode and it was like, I did uncomfortable things around like Disney.
Okay. What does that mean?
Like, okay, let's say I went to Epcot.
This could go
like
many
people
got
to clean that ball.
Yeah.
You know, somebody gets up there and cleans that ball. So I'm over here like, when I go jump up.
You want to power wash the ball at Epcot.
Come on, hey, I'm just saying. Like, they literally go out on the little, like, rappelling almost and have to, like, clean and shine the ball. I'm like, man, you know what? It's going to be a whole fun episode. Have you not watched the show, like, back in the day, like, TGI Fridays or TGIF? And yes. It was, like, they always had, like, a Disney episode in there.
Yeah. I love Disney. Yeah. That would be, like, my favorite one. Or let's get you up on, like, the San Francisco Bridge. And get you painting it with all the workers.
Oh, yeah, because it has to be painted every 5 years?
No, I think don't they just start and then they paint the whole thing and then they just start over again?
Yeah, and they repaint. Yeah.
Yeah, you took me off on that one.
We're not producers because I don't think that'd be a hit. People would be like, oh, this is like watching paint dry. I'm sure because there's many times in the show you want to do certain things like swim with the whale sharks and everything. But are there some activities that you don't know that you're going to do? Because sometimes you look genuinely shocked. I don't know if it's because they're like, you're doing this right now. And you're just like,
surprise you?
Excuse me? Or yeah, how does that work? Because your relatability, and this could just be how they edited it, but I just feel like you would show up and they'll be like, all right, you're doing this right now. And you're like, excuse me?
Yeah.
Like right now? Like you're not giving me any like heads up or warm up?
Yeah, after a while, I kind of knew that like, no, this is the life I'm living. Right. Like, we're just gonna throw me into stuff. I'm genuinely, I think I still have to come from a place of like, I genuinely have to react a certain way. Mind you, there's TV.
Right.
This is still TV in some way. So my producer, especially my story producer, like she's the one who had to draw out stuff in me. Like a lot of times I wouldn't even talk. Like I'ma just focus in, zero in, let's lock in, let's go. And she was like, no, tell me what are you thinking? And I was like, for what? Why do we have to tell this? Now I'm over here thinking, like, are you scared? Are you nervous? You know what? I thought I wasn't scared and nervous, and then I started thinking to myself, but no, I really am scared and nervous. This is just a defense mechanism or a coping mechanism to get out of like the bulldoze through it. So it was like, it just taught me how to express myself in a way to where like is relatable as well.
Yeah, it's very relatable. We're sort of nearing the end here.
Okay.
I want to know, or we both want to know, can you tell us in this first season, can you just tell us about just one great day, like a day that you remember? And I know there's so many. He's already got it.
Quick.
Oh, wow. What is it? The great day in season one of Shooting
Your Shot. I think I watch this episode every day.
Oh, man. Super fan.
All right. So Vietnam. We started in Ha Long Bay. We went from Ha Long Bay to and Ha Long Bay is where like the mountains are in the water, the islands are in the water.
Gorgeous.
Beautiful. We started there. We technically had a late call, so we didn't have to like actually do anything until like 11 or 12 o'clock, which is like we're up at like 5-6 o'clock in the morning every night. So we were like, oh my gosh, this is like a whole day to do stuff. I went and got a massage. And then after my massage, we got in the car and went over. First of all, these massages are only $13. So me and the whole production team, we were all like, all right, hey guys, we're here.
This really is a great day. Okay, I was thinking maybe this a person or what, yeah.
So then we had to take a 4 or 5 hour trip up to Hanoi from where we were at. We get there and that's when I did the motorbikes. And that was the first time getting on the motorbikes, but it was me being in a big city. Like that was the first time that we were like in a big city. There's people around. I'm getting to be like, oh yeah. And that's somewhat my travel too. I do love like being able to go into big cities and like seeing how like big cities do things. And then we did the street food tour. But before we did that street food tour, we actually sat down at a restaurant, like a hole in the wall kind of restaurant. And the whole team ate together. So like, I'm like actually in tears. like watching everybody eat, like, cause we were, it was like all the big family, all 30 of us was like in the place together, all enjoying this meal. And it was just beautiful to see that. And then we shot the shots. We shot that whole food scene thing that we did there. And then we had to go catch that train. And we literally were on that train and had to spend the night on that train. So it was like, we filmed on the train and then went to sleep. So our day was like a 20-something hour day from start to beginning, start to end. And so it was just beautiful. It was fun. And being on a train, like sleeping on a, like a, and it was like a more like Oriental Express kind of train. So it was like old, antique-ish. And so it was like, oh my God, this really does feel like an adventure right now.
Yeah, and then when you got showed your room and there was somebody else in there, that was so funny because the look on his face too was like, what? What? That was good.
I had one room by the end of it though.
Oh, you did? Yeah, I was like, are they really going to stick in there? That was really funny because, I mean, you were like, hello, excuse me. So, I mean, obviously you've been, you know, all over the world. How many countries? I think on the show you said at least 40.
40, but 45 now. Yeah.
45 now. That's, that's amazing. But where is one place that you haven't visited that is on your top list?
Number one.
Like on you've got to do it.
Antarctica.
Antarctica.
Okay.
Yeah, Jen, should we break the news to him?
We should break the news to him. We have a connection for you. She is the connection. If you want to go to Antarctica, this is a person you want with you.
All right, let's talk.
Recently interviewed, her name is Felicity Aston, and she is the first person to ski across Antarctica alone.
People can do that?
Yeah.
Yes, and I mean, she is absolutely incredible. She's like a meteorologist and a physicist, and she's been since her early 20s doing like living in Antarctica at the South Pole for long periods of time studying. She's really into research and everything.
This is her book. She wrote Alone. Alone in Antarctica. Wow. She was in the Guinness Book of World Records. She was the first. Yeah, she walked across Antarctica by herself.
But she hosts expeditions and she's just an expert. She was an amazing person to talk to, but yeah, she was awesome. But yeah, I would love to see you down in Antarctica. Never been there myself, so I'll be watching under a blanket on my couch.
Oh my God.
But
take out.
What is it about Antarctica?
You know, well, one, to get to another continent. I want to be able to say I've been to all seven continents. I think there is more penguins there.
Which you I'm love the penguins.
Like you said, some of the cute penguins. But yeah, then they said that like the sound pollution is so low that you can hear your own heartbeat. I was like, whoa.
She said the hardest part was the stillness. It wasn't anything. It was the stillness. Yeah.
Yeah, and that's that part to me. Like, but then in bragging rights as well, you can say that you went to a place that majority of the people ever on Earth, like in existence, has ever actually been to. And so that to me, I think is like beautiful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's
and I learned, I think it's only for, I mean, sorry if this is incorrect, world, but I learned that at least for a part of the time, you can't see the moon or stars because of where you're positioned. So it just, if you're alone, it's just literally so quiet and dark. And it's just
there's no planes either. There's not a flight path. So you truly are alone. Yeah.
Crazy.
We're looking forward to that episode with you.
Yeah. maybe we'll see you down there.
Yeah. Just randomly.
Come on. I love it.
Yeah. Jeff, how can people connect with you and find you? Where can people watch your show?
You can watch my show on Nat Geo TV every Sunday. And you can also stream it all 8 episodes right now on Disney Plus and Hulu.
Awesome.
Never Say Never with Jeff Jenkins. And you can follow me at Chubby Diaries on all my social.
Awesome. Do you have anything else you'd like to say about your show, about inspiring other people before we go?
Yeah. Yeah, I do want to say that, like, the show is doing exactly what I thought or I wanted it to do. Like, my dream was for it to inspire and motivate people. But this is one of those things where I'm hearing so many people that are saying the same thing. Like, it's one of those feel-good shows that, yeah. like, you don't know that, like, you're like, hey, wait a minute. You're the one over there doing this stuff, but I'm learning something about myself right now. Yeah. And it's challenging people to just step out of their comfort zone. And so I'm telling you, it's a great show. I'm proud of it, and I know you will love it.
It's a little addicting. Like, it's one of those, when you watch one, it's like, I think I need to keep watching this.
Yeah, what is he going to get himself into? Before we close, I just want to say one of my favorite quotes from actually the whole season was in New Zealand, so it's the first episode, and you were doing that Blackwater rafting, and you said something like, suck those butt cheeks in, Jeff. And I was like, shut up. Like, my daily mantra to myself, like, you know, suck it in. Suck it she in. Does. I'm always like, gotta suck these thighs in somehow, or, you know, and I loved it. I just laughed and I'm like, yep, we would have fun. We would have fun.
Where are y'all based?
I'm in Los Angeles. Jen, where okay. are you?
I'm in Annapolis, Maryland. Right outside Baltimore, D.C.
Love it.
Yeah. Yes, yeah.
So it's kind of cool. We're able to do this, and we interview people all over the world. So it's kind of, it's fun. I don't know. It's, yeah. We're across the United States, the three of us. Yeah.
Oh, I love it. And well, thank y'all so much for having me on today. This has been such a fun and beautiful interview. And thank y'all for just being able to use y'all platform to share other people's stories.
Yeah, that's what this is all about. I mean, no one wants to sit and listen to her and I talk to just each other every day. I mean, come on. We can only do that for an episode or two, and then people are over it. So thank you so much for taking the time. I know you are insanely busy right now. I see you like on Good Morning America, but now you're on Bush and Banner podcast.
I literally am getting off the phone with y'all to go have my pre-interview with Good Morning America. I'm going back home on Thursday.
No big deal. Yeah. Well, good luck with that. Congratulations on all your success. I'm so excited to hear there's going to be a season two. We will definitely be tuned.
We don't know that yet. We don't know that yet. We're just this is wishful thinking. This is wishful thinking. Man.
Wishful thinking. No, okay.
We won't put that in.
No, y'all can say it. You can even put this whole part in right now. It's funny.
We got to see him in Antarctica and cleaning the ball at Disney World.
Come on. We need season two. Come on.
Season two.
All right. Thank you so much, Jeff.
May y'all have a good one.
Before we wrap this up, I want to give a huge shout out to our sponsors, Sawyer Products and Eno. Thank you so much for supporting our episode.